Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this special belated holiday edition of Flash in the Pan, we've opened all our presents, and it's time for us to give something to you.
Aww.
Aww.
We grew up in a world of online animation, and we're digging you out for your consideration, bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. For Flash in the Pan.
Hi, and welcome to a festive edition of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
We have taken a life-necessary break from things.
Yes.
But now we're back.
Yes.
And we're bringing some belated holiday cheer to usher in a brand new decade of whatever the hell it's gonna bring.
I was fully expecting you to say a brand new decade of shit.
Well, look, we've already had one decade of shit.
Why not have another one?
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? Apart from absolutely everything.
Well, hey, we've still got a few days of 2019, so let's use it to reminisce about holiday experiences from animation gone by.
Wow.
Yeah, we solicited a few of you folks to write in and give us some cool holiday tune suggestions, and then there was a massive email problem and we lost all of them. So
yay.
So we just picked a few. Sorry.
Sorry.
But they're good ones.
Yes.
And I think we got an interesting mix.
Yes.
Of Christmassy things.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's start off by saying that if you would like to watch along with us, or maybe check out our previous episodes, you can go to the website. We have a website. Yeah, we
yes.
do.
Yes,
it's
we do.
It's flashinthepancast.com.
Wow. The internet. So another
Still.
Thing that became much more prevalent in the last 10 years.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we've got some cartoons from a little longer than 10 years ago.
Yes.
Because
yes,
the
do.
First one we're going to be starting off is we're going to be going back to an old friend of yours and mine.
Yes.
Way back in our special double-length episode 8.
Oh, yeah.
As a birthday treat for me, we covered the Perfect Kirby series.
Yes, we did.
And what we didn't cover was a couple of the shorts, and
yeah.
One of the shorts is a holiday special. It's called Christmas Eve, and we're going to be watching that one right now.
I've had it with this Christmas! I'm thrilled!
Thus, everyone tried to fill Kirby with cheer.
Hey, Kirby, want to try out my new gear? I made a device that makes wrapping a breeze. I wrap Master 9000 wrap presents with ease.
I don't feel like helping, I don't feel like strapping, and man, oh man, do I hate Neil's rapping.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells.
Hey, Kirby, check out my new ray gun. It's sure to bring you all sorts of holiday fun.
And to all a good curb.
Yes. Yes. I kind of get what some of what he's saying is like, Christmas does seem to go on an awful long time, the older you get.
I mean, this is from 2003.
Yes.
And since then, for a long time, Christmas does creep.
Mm.
I think the first Christmassy things I saw this year were in September.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, October,
mm-hmm.
which is incredibly disrespectful to Halloween.
It is, but Halloween doesn't sell toys.
No, it should.
It
it should.
Yeah, it just smells? It just smells.
It just smells.
Halloween smells.
Yeah, no.
It just sells chocolate.
Chris, I remember I saw a tweet the other day, which was Christmas is over on like December 25th, and every day after that feels like a fucking Saturday. And it's like, yeah,
kind of,
yeah. It's
well, except for those in the service industry who have to work before and after Christmas.
God,
because that's how capitalism works.
That's how capitalism works,
mm-hmm.
and it fucking sucks.
Hell yeah, it does. Yeah. So, what do we think of this? Perfect. What did you enjoy returning briefly to the world of Perfect Kirby?
Yeah, I had to like mentally remind myself who certain characters that were mentioned but didn't show up were,
okay.
Like Ian.
Ian, aka Feathers McGraw.
And I was like, wait, what? Why is Ian going along with all these bikini-clad women? Oh, that's right. Because
he's the cool penguin that gets all the ladies.
It's the penguins. I liked that Neil was on his naughty list.
Yeah, Neil is just the punchline.
Yes.
But it
continues to be.
But it's so incredibly petty that it kind of works.
Yes. I wanted Mario to have more screen time.
Oh, I mean, that's always true.
Yes, that's always true for me, but...
I mean, you were watching The Last Star Wars and thinking, oh, I wish Mario had more screen time.
Mario was here.
So one thing that about that this is relevant to, but just bugs me.
Yes.
Anyone who's ever spent any time on any kind of fan forum or subreddit or DeviantArt or whatever.
Yeah.
Every single amateur poet writes a version of The Night Before Christmas about their chosen fandom or community or sexual fetish. It's true.
I don't know about that last one.
I do. Okay. It is absolutely
right.
True.
Okay. But you are correct, yes. It does get done for every single fandom that exists.
And almost never, and this is no exception, almost never does it properly rhyme or properly scan to the original meter of the poem.
Yeah.
And this is especially poor.
It's especially egregious in a couple of areas where it's like, that's not quite... That,
yeah, no, yeah. Like the lines almost never fit.
No.
The timing's terrible. And at one point they tried to rhyme Canadian with occasion. Which is particularly bad.
You should have gone the whole hog and just said Acadian.
Yeah, Acadian. There you go.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible poetry aside, this is fun. It's cute. I liked it.
If they'd lent into how awful the poem was more, we might have forgiven it a little bit more as like self-referential, self-deprecation.
Well,
get you a long way.
I mean, speaking of self-deprecation, like. I mean, like, John literally does get murdered at the end by Kirby.
I like that. He's like, why is the narrator still talking? He shoots him.
Yeah.
That's his answer to everything.
That is his answer to everything.
Yeah.
And also, so we got your generic story of like, ah, oh, boo, bah, humbug. I don't like Christmas.
Christmas.
Oh, wait, I'm having a vision. I love Christmas.
Oh, Father Christmas. What? Yeah.
I like that he sleeps, he has a dream, he meets Santa. Santa just summons an armchair, which I like.
one of
his lesser known powers.
It's Santa. You can do whatever the fuck you can.
Oh, imagine though, you click your fingers and just like high back armchair appears. Like you're waiting for the bus and suddenly you're comfy.
That does sound good.
But then what if you can't get rid of it? What if the armchair just stays there?
Free armchair, baby, for everyone.
Yeah, but then what if you get like stuck in a West Side Story style street fight, and you're clicking your fingers over and over and over, and armchairs just start dropping from the sky?
Sounds like a good way out of that.
Oh yeah, you have to hone your skills so the armchairs fall onto your opponents.
Yeah, you just have to get really, really. Yeah, you just have to practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go Santa.
There you go.
Sorry, that was a nothing conversation.
It really was. Never mind.
Anyway, Joanna Dark is a lady.
Yes, she is.
And
well observed.
Yep. That again appears to be her only characterization in this.
That's her character.
Her character is girl.
Did she get much more characterization than that in the actual game itself?
She has a personality in the games, at least. Like she, like she chats with people. She has some decent banter.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Here, she just exists and promises Kirby a thong, and then appears later in a bikini with thong.
We don't see that.
Yeah, we do.
Well, you don't.
Right at the end.
Yes. Okay. No. Yes. Yes, you're right. Okay.
I'm amazed you didn't notice. It's
I noticed. Well, there's no way to tell from the front that it's a thong, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's fair.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. She's got a massive toothy maw.
That's not what I thought you were going to say, but okay, yeah.
But she does.
Yeah, she does.
just because of the art style.
He's got huge tracks of land.
Yeah. So, you know, bikini and thong, because Kirby is just... like, the perfect Kirby version of Kirby is basically just the creator's id.
Yes.
And this is the id fulfilled.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What else happens? Neil gets hit by a ladder for rapping, and fair enough.
That was a fun joke, because I hate Neil's rapping, and then he's actually rapping. Yeah. I mean, that's a really easy joke, but also it's fun.
It's... yeah, exactly. And there's a little joke, is like, hey, whether you're Christian or Jewish or Canadian, you can still celebrate Christmas, and that's... It's silly.
Those are the three religions: Christian, Jewish, and
Canadian.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's nice. Like the animation's not bad. It's basically just like a slightly hastier version of the stuff you see in Perfect Kirby 3.
Yeah.
There are some fun tricks. Like I like the way they do the fire in the fireplace.
Oh yeah.
With like the prickly polygon that keeps going around, around, around.
Yeah, that's cool.
You can tell that in some areas they definitely saved some time by like having Kirby facing away from the camera while talking, yeah, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And also like just in terms of the kind of animation they do with like you know heavily tweened, which means that when Neil is rapping, for instance, he kind of pulsates.
He does a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just. That's just his demonstrating his power. That's how he does it.
Well, he inflates himself like a bullfrog to control his breathing.
Yeah, to assert his dominance, yeah.
But he doesn't have any dominance. That's the point. It's Neil.
Maybe he's trying something new.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. So, all in all, what do we think? It's all right.
It's all right, yeah.
It's nice. It's fun. Nice. I definitely didn't watch the Perfect Kirby shorts back in the day nearly as many times over and over and over as I watched the main series.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I think that might just be because...
There's not as much content.
There isn't, no. And also, like, it just feels a bit rushed.
It feels like it lacks some of the character and charm. Feels a little bit soulless, is what I'm saying, I think. In comparison to the actual Perfect Kirby. Not that it's completely devoid of merit.
No.
But it does definitely feel like, oh shit, Christmas is coming, let's slap something together.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, again, as with regular Perfect Kirby, they actually get an actual woman to voice a lady, which, as we've discussed, is a rare treat for a Flash animation.
I wonder how she feels about her character's depiction in this.
What, the real Joanna Dark?
No, I mean Kelly.
Kelly Riley.
Yeah.
I imagine she was on board for it. I don't know how she feels in hindsight, that's what, 16 years later.
Yeah, I'm sure she's like, I don't know about that. No.
I don't know. I did not really look up much of Kelly Riley when I was doing my Flash.
Excellent segue. Oh, well
thank
done.
You. I'm very proud.
Yes.
So we did a proper deep dive into John and Richie, aka Picanjo.
Yes, we did.
Back in the day.
A whole two-part episode.
Yeah, so you should go back and listen to our episode 8, part 1 and 2.
Retroactively celebrate Tom's birthday from earlier this year.
From earlier last year.
Last year, Jesus Christ.
I know. Time makes fools of us all,
yes,
Alex.
Yes, it does.
But I do want to highlight one slightly nice thing, which is that lately John Zerbes of the Picanjo John and Richie thing,
yes,
has been just like doing really chill Minecraft streams.
Nice. Okay.
And also Pokemon stuff, and just like really kind of wholesome dad energy.
Shiny Galarian Ponyta, nice.
Yeah, I know, right? And like, just compared to like the sort of edgy teen energy that you get in a lot of Perfect Kirby,
at some point that energy runs out, and then you just
and then in the late 2000s, early 2010s, the extreme horny energy, which we will cover in future. Do not worry.
Yeah,
It's nice. It's nice to see you know just chill coming out of
that's
it.
Nice.
It's nice.
Yeah.
You know? Just having a pleasant time. So yeah, that's all the Flash I have, I'm afraid. But we do have some rather lovely comments. And I'm gonna start us off with Prozac Smile from Christmas Day 2003, which is when that was uploaded.
Cool.
Prozac Smile gave it 5 out of 5 and said, I dropped the Prozac to you. I have to say, I have watched many of your films, in inverted commas, if you'd say, but this is a strange and obnoxious thing. I believe that it should be loved by most human beings. So with that told, and this post still left to write, I bid you adieu and a, and a frightful but merry good night.
He tried. they tried so hard. Props for trying. Cospus. Christmas Day, 2003. Rated it 2.5 out of 5. Oh dear, said, crap. I hate this kind of humour, quote-unquote. Mario Kirby, you stole the characters too. Hope you sell a lot of t-shirts and Merry Christmas. Wait, what?
Ooh, Cospus, tell us what you really mean.
What does he mean? It sounds like he's like, wow, this is terrible. I hope you do really well.
I'm pretty sure it's sarcastic.
Yes, I'm sure, but at the same time...
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Hope you're successful in your endeavours.
I hope you have a really nice time.
Okay, on May 5th of 2006...
Jesus Christ.
About as far as you can get from Christmas, Fiery Pete gave it only 2 out of 5.
Oh my god, I just read the first line.
And Fiery Pete said... Religus. Most Religus cartoons are not very good, but because I like Kirby so much, I had to give it a good score. The rimming and...
Where? I didn't see that. I didn't see that at all.
The rimming and the jolliness of the cartoon makes me sad that the person who made the cartoon has run out of ideas for Kirby and has fallen to the pitiful levels of making a cartoon with sinning. It hurts my dark, evil soul to wash such a jolly cartoon. It made me bleed all over my desktop, so I made the score go down again because of all the bloodlust.
Oh my god.
What a fine fucking run-on sentence that, that is.
That was a journey. I hope the journey ended the hospital because it sounded like they were bleeding out.
And finally, we've got our old favourite.
Ericho.
Hi, Ericho.
Came back in December 8th of 2016. Gave it a 5 out of 5 and said, this is one of the Christmas cartoons I watch over and over. Why? Oh, God. Because Joanna is in a bikini. Oh, my God.
Wait.
I'm sorry. She is literally the most beautiful cartoon character I've ever seen.
Keep going. It gets better. It gets better.
I think her boobs get bigger as she laughs. Oh my god. Anyway, the animation just gets better all the time. Okay. I pity this wasn't submitted on Christmas Eve. Well, close enough. Wait, it's submitted on Christmas Day? What are you fucking talking about? Ugh, the voices are as good as ever. It's nice to have rhyming episodes. No mention of Hanukkah. Well, they mentioned that Jewish people exist. I think it's implied.
The joke there is that even Jews can celebrate Christmas.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Fine.
Yeah. So... You can tell why I picked this particular comment because...
Really?
Erich...
I got no idea.
I was not expecting our fellow troubadour and flash explorer, Ericho, to be so nakedly horny on main. And you know what? More power to you, Ericho. You enjoy those Joanna Dark boobs.
Oh my god. She's the most beautiful cartoon I've ever seen. And he wrote that 2016.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, Joanna Dark set a very high bar that for Ericho has not been cleared.
Okay.
You know, you never forget your first love.
Sure. No. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Now let us turn our attention a wee bit back to December of 2000.
Good lord.
19 years ago. And we're going to look at one of the more popular Christmas tunes, one of the first of the Newgrounds Christmas tunes.
Yeah, in fucking 2000.
Yeah, 2000. And it's a fun little thing called Roast Santa.
Come on, child. I have millions of Backstreet Boys CDs to deliver to little children all over the world.
You know how to get on this kid's good side. Santa's nuts roasting on an open fire while I punch him in the nose. Turn up the heat, kid.
Well then.
That was a thing.
That sure was a thing.
That was a thing. Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically that frog in a blender.
I was about to say, I think I actually saw someone in the comments comparing this to Frog in a Blender.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except like a year earlier. Well, what was Frog in a Blender? Was that?
That was before this, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. And it's definitely in the same wheelhouse.
Yes. Like nearly the exact same wheelhouse.
I mean, it was the year 2000,
yeah.
You know? It was still the Clinton years.
Flash animations in the Clinton years. I'll show you how to use the pen tool.
There you go. Yeah, it's just like, and this is like what Newgrounds was assumed to be.
Yes.
By a lot of people. Like, this is like the stereotypical take character or celebrity.
Yes.
And animate them getting harmed.
The pinnacle of comedy.
At the time,
yes.
You know? I mean,
well,
this was the era of like celebrity deathmatch and shit.
God, yeah. Remember that?
I do.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
They had a game.
They did. I always wanted it.
Yeah, me too. For
even
some
though I didn't
reason.
Know, I did. I was like, "Who is Kid Rock?" I don't know, but I want to claymate them beating someone up.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, like, what do you want? Do you want to describe what's going on in this
so,
for anyone who was brave enough not to?
Yeah. So, Santa is stuck in a chimney.
Oh, I know that song.
And he can't get out, and he's like, help me out. And then Rudolph's like, no, don't help him out. Turn up the gas and roast him alive, because Rudolph really hates Santa now for some reason.
I hate Rudolph in this. Not just the attitude and the like the terrible wannabe Joe Pesci voice. The Irishman, now streaming on Netflix. But because the design of Rudolph here is absolutely hideous.
Yeah.
He's just got this big, horrible dick nose.
Yes, he does.
And a basic gradient for his actual glowy red nose.
Yeah.
And he's just insufferable.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is pretty crap.
It's kind of shit.
Like, you know, I was 10 when this came out, and I would have been disappointed.
Yeah, not really. So, basically, you keep turning up the gas,
mm-hmm.
and at one point, Santa's like, oh, if you don't do it, I'll show you a naked picture of Britney Spears. And if you actually won't click to see the naked picture of Britney Spears, it's just...
It's Britney Spears'
head. Britney Spears' head's been photoshopped onto
a fat woman.
Onto a fat woman.
Yep.
Hilarious.
That's the joke.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but at the, I mean, at the time, this would have been one of the most efficient ways to get a single nude picture of a lady.
Yes. That's sad, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then you continue to turn up the gas, and eventually, like, Father Christmas just explodes.
He farts.
Oh, he farts, and then it explodes.
And explodes.
Which is...
It's the same explosion they use in Orphan House. it's that same pixelated explosion gif. I think is from StarCraft.
Yes.
Yeah.
The explosion's kind of lackluster.
Yeah.
It just kind of explodes and then it's just gone.
It's just a wet fart.
Yeah.
Of a cartoon.
Yeah. And in the cartoon as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's some interactivity. Like, you get to be the person to turn up the gas yourself.
Oh, wow.
And you can choose to turn down the offer of the Britney Spears photo.
Yes, you can. And absolutely. Well, you get a different line of dialogue.
Yeah, Rudolph calls him a child molester as well. Oh, and also at one point, Father Christmas says, but I have to deliver millions of kids this Backstreet Boys CD. And the joke there is that the Backstreet Boys exist.
Yeah, they existed and they were popular in the year 2000.
Yeah, and I guarantee at the time there were at least 5 Flash games allowing you to kill the Backstreet Boys.
Probably, yeah. Let's not forget the fucking early internet classic, Which Backstreet Boy Is Gay? Remember that one?
Yeah, that is... So I mentioned on the last episode... was it the last episode? I think it was the last episode. How on the official Weird Al Yankovic website, there was a list of songs that Weird Al did not record. And that's on the list. Well, Weird Al had nothing to do with...
Of course he didn't. He's like, he's much better than that. Like,
yeah. But yeah, this is... like, are there any redeeming features of this?
No.
Okay. Fine.
No, I don't think so, because it's just... It's
exactly simple, what it says on the tin.
It's as simple as it gets.
Yeah.
And even for the time, this is not particularly creative, because Frog and a Blender had already done it a year previous.
And Cartoon Frogs... and also, the Cartoon Frog was an aggressor.
Yeah, the Cartoon Frog, like...
It kept sassing you?
It keeps telling you that you're not going to do it, and calling you names, and Santa is like, please don't.
Yeah.
And Rudolph just egging you on.
Mm.
So
this is like the electroshock experiment. Yeah, Rudolph is the one in the lab coat, and Santa's the person in the room next door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hateful.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you looked this guy up, didn't you? Because you have a little bit of a flash.
Yes. I didn't find a ton of stuff.
Okay. Well, let's see what we can find.
So this is created by AD, or was it Alson?
Olson.
Adam Olson.
Yeah.
And this is uploaded December 8th. 2000.
Yes.
So there is a link on the profile to a long since dormant website at shockcomics.com. Now I used the Wayback Machine to take a look at how shockcomics.com looked
and
in 2000.
Wait, I'm going to do that right now.
So the note I've made is that the website is incredibly orange, which is maybe the most shocking thing about it.
Oh.
So orange.
Wow.
And, like, if you go to,
Oh, my goodness. The website offers Shock Comics e-cards.
Yep. And if you go to, like, over here, I think it's, like, 2004,
mm-hmm.
click on one of those, there's literally a really big ad that's like, this is, like, there it is for sale.
Oh.
After 4 years, they were like, ah, fuck. We're going to have to sell the website.
Oh dear.
And they really had a thing for Britney Spears, you can see. Shot comic really lets you stick it in her, a spear. And there's a gif of Britney getting speared.
And that's 2004. They're still making flashes about murdering Britney Spears. This feels a bit stagnant.
Yeah. Maybe more shocking than the incredible orangeness of the website is that going to Shock Comics MySpace still lets you view some of the photos that are uploaded there, including a nun browsing the web for porn.
Oh, I mean, that's just a classic.
A footballer getting kicked in the nuts.
Classic.
And an advertisement for Shock Comics Radio Hour with Adam and Jimmy.
Shock Comics Radio Hour with Adam and Jimmy.
Adam and Jimmy.
So are they just trying to be Opie and Anthony or what?
Maybe. There it is.
Live on the air, Sundays at 3.
At some point, it looks like the Shock Comics Radio Hour became its own page, and it picked up someone called Bosso.
Bosso?
Along the way.
That is a character from Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes, it is.
Oh yeah, there's Bosso. There's Jimmy, there's Adam.
There they are.
Adam looks incredibly smug. Wow.
Yes, he does. There they are, there's Adam and Jimmy.
Adam is eye-fucking the camera.
Yeah, he really... He looks like he belongs... He looks like he's like a forgotten member of Breaking Benjamin. Like, don't tell me that he wouldn't look exactly at home with a guitar in the band Breaking Benjamin. Look at him.
Oh, gosh. Imagine being Jimmy. Imagine telling people at the bar, yeah, I do a comedy radio hour with Adam Carolla's fail son.
Yeah. He's just trying to find his place on the Diary of Jane. Roast Santa is the 7th upload to the Newground page, with the first being South Park Surprise.
Is the surprise that a member of South Park
fucking sucks? Oh, that's not a surprise, is it?
I mean, in the year 2000, South Park had not yet crystallized its particular form of suck.
I guess not. And the cartoon that, as you can see, that followed Roast Santa was My Fart Will Go On.
A Titanic parody.
Yes.
From 2000.
2001.
Oof.
And that is about it. They have not uploaded anything to Newgrounds since 2001. I've made a note here. Who knows how long the saga of Shock Comics Radio Hour with Adam, Jimmy and Bosso lasted.
Adam, Jimmy, Bosso, if you're listening, please write in. Flash on the Pancast at jimmo.com. Wow. Well,
they also did something called Stick Wars. I wonder what that could be.
Yes.
They really had it out for Britney Spears.
They really did. Wow.
Christ.
Oh, well.
I wonder if there's any way to listen to... Oh, yeah, so, as you can see, the guy behind Shark Comics is, like, 40 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, 19 years ago, he would have been...
21?
Old enough to know better.
Oh, well. I mean, they can't all be zingers, and this is definitely nowhere near being a zinger.
This is a stinker.
It is.
Yeah.
Because it's got a fart in it.
Yeah, but most of them have farts in it, and they aren't all as bad as this.
You're right. You know what isn't that bad, though?
What is it?
The pleasure that we can get from reading the comments.
Yay! Okay.
Okay. So, more Tortex. More Tortex. In December 23rd, 2002, replied and said, "Nice one. Clicking that knob made my hand sore."
Oh, we've all been there.
More Tortex is about to ask if you have kick.
Oh, God. Dominicophore. Why are they all...
Why are they all elder gods?
Nicophore, December 6th, 2002, said, useless shit that is fudged up shit that this is. So you can say shit, but not fuck. Okay, what? I don't understand.
Nor do I. Fire 666. Cool name.
Nice.
December 10th, 2002, said, fresh as hell! Rudolph being fed up with that fat ass, Santa getting his fat ass stuck in a chimney, and that fucked up picture of Brittany Spears. All I can simply say is, fresh.
Okay. Thanks for that. Nipokra, February 15th, 2004 said...
2004?
Yes. He said, yes, finally the fat man gets it. That'll teach him for getting me socks instead of a PS2. Bastard.
Wow. Erichow did comment, and Erichow gave it 3 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, that seems a bit high.
Saying, this was more interesting than I thought.
Well, how?
I admit to really appreciating how good the animation was. It wasn't that much, but it was still interesting. The jokes were pretty good. I just liked the idea of that reindeer popping up every now and then. The voices were quite relatable. I thought it was going to be literal when you said, fuck it. It was still pretty satisfying. I remember this thumbnail from Christmas 2000. I thought this would be like a Comedy Central roast of Santa. I just love these so much. So Erichow coming out to stan hard for the frog in a blender
subgenre. I have to admit
subgenre.
That when I initially saw Roast Santa, I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, I
thought it was going to be like, hey, let's make fun jokes about Santa. And it's just...
This is nowhere near as fun as that. That would have been so much better.
It's just mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I won't read the full comment, but someone called Dido the Mofo in 2011 said, a potty-mouthed Rudolph does little to alleviate the predictableness.
True, yeah.
So let us move on to something a little more pleasant. This is a lovely cartoon that I do remember being recommended by one of our listeners, and it is called Carol of the Robots.
Aww.
So Let's listen to their song.
That was so much better.
It's so it's like night and day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really nice. Alex, this is a musical.
Yes.
So obviously,
yeah.
as the more musical of the two of us, this is your chance to talk about how it worked as a musical piece.
What? You have to remind me the name of the song.
Carol of the Bells.
Carol of the Bells, okay. I mean, it's just a really nice kind of electronic arrangement of Carol of the Bells.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually fairly simplistic, but it doesn't need to be, like, super layered and complicated, because as it is, Carol of the Bells is a pretty simple song. It's just got...
It's got all the layers and layers that build up that make it, like...
Yeah, it's a canon, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. But no, it's a really nice arrangement. It's a fairly stripped-back electronic version of that, but it's... I liked... I just like the idea of... I like the use of the kind of the theremin effect.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was a really effective way of kind of conveying like the original feel of Carol of the Bells, but in using electronic instruments.
I think so. This is definitely the least terrifying version of Carol of the Bells I've ever heard.
Because yeah, Carol, yeah,
Carol of the Bells
can
is
be quite ominous. Depending
it's
on how
so
you do it.
Creepy.
Yeah,
like they used like an extra scary version in the trailer for the most recent BBC version of Christmas Carol.
Did they really?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it doesn't help that it's genuinely...
threatening.
I believe, generally, sung by children.
Yes.
And
like, lots of children at the same time.
Yeah, and, like, when you do that, you immediately evoke, like, standard, like, horror tropes, because, like, you know, music, creepy, spooky music being sung by children somewhere is like, horror trope, like, is a fairly frequently used horror trope.
Yeah, exactly.
So I understand why that would be maybe not something you want to do like the festive season.
Yeah, I like that's one of the reasons I like Carol of the Bells so much, because it doesn't sound like any other Christmas music.
No, it doesn't.
Because it is like this frightening minor key.
It is in a minor key.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's so minor key. Yeah, it's great, and I really like just again the simplicity. It kind of reminds me of. Way back when we covered A Guide to Snapping.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just a little music video where each character does their own thing and they build together into a full song.
Mm.
Like, I really like that the broken radio becomes a little theremin thing.
That's cool.
I really do like that. So you got the two main robots who have keyboards on their chests.
Yes.
And they're actually playing the right notes.
I was going to say, that they're playing the correct notes, which... was an immediate, like, brownie point to me.
Yeah, it's like, you could probably learn to play Carol of the Bells from this.
By watching that, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is neat.
Yeah, it is neat, yeah.
I will say that, toward the end, when the robots start playing each other's chests, it does seem a bit erotic. Because they're, like, leaning against each other and they're, like, really into the music and they're just kind of, like, musically fondling each other.
I mean... Sometimes you just get into that space, you know.
I mean,
you just gotta...
I mean, for context, I did see Cats last weekend, and that has destroyed my brain's conception of what is and is not erotic.
I'm surprised you had any semblance to my left, to be honest.
But like editorial note: everyone should see Cats. No one should pay for Cats.
You should see it. Don't pay money for it.
No, it is.
You gotta see the unpatched version.
Cats 1.0.
Yes.
Well, actually, more like Cats 0.98. Anyway, robots. Yeah, they're cute. I like the designs. They're simple. They've got personality. the little robot kid kind of comes along, does a fun song, and then just moves on.
It's nice. You don't usually get robots associated directly with Christmas, so it's
You don't.
It's nice that they made this work.
Yeah, it does work a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that I think that the arrangement, yeah, like you said, the arrangement, which is by Dustball, who's the same person who did the animation,
yeah,
as we'll get onto later, it really works. It's nice.
It's
and
very
like,
good, yeah.
I would not mind if I were, you know, shopping and in the supermarket, this came on the Tannoy music. I think it would be quite nice. It'd be better than bloody, you know, driving home for Christmas. Which I'm sure we've shouted out on this podcast before. It's just a bad song.
Driving Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's not any worse than that terrible Paul McCartney song.
You're right. But the terrible Paul McCartney song does have screaming children, which brings us full circle.
Also, the moon is right. You've seen that, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah, any last things to say? It's very simplistic.
It's very simplistic, but it's not trying to be anything other than what it is, which is just Robot Christmas,
yeah.
Which is nice.
We should point out that you can, at the end, click the link to print and fold your very own robot, but the link is dead.
It's broken.
Yep. Yeah, so I think it might be time for some Flash. So this cartoon was made by somebody going by the name of Dustball. Dustball, a.k.a. Dusted McLean, who at the time in the early aughts was a pretty popular Flash creator.
Okay.
And also worked in different media. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just Flash animation. He also did stuff with Photoshop. He did stuff with photo manipulation.
Okay.
He even did a couple of stop motion things. There was called Over There, which did quite well.
Okay.
And he kept doing music stuff as well, like Flathead Symphony, which is one we will get onto in a later episode, because it's just lovely.
That one.
You probably have.
Familiar.
Yeah. Around the mid-2000s, he stopped uploading to Newgrounds because he was doing his own thing. And by doing his own thing, I mean he had moved on to being like a proper content creator,
nice.
Not just online, but everywhere else.
Good.
Like he did a music video for Weird Al Yankovic. He did comedy shorts. He did comedy music shorts. He's still doing stuff.
Cool.
If you go to his website, you will find, like, so many different... Like, he's worked on adverts. He's worked on mockumentaries. He's done whole series about, like, films, about comedy stuff. But one of the most important to old internet culture... He was the first person to create a literal music video in the late aughts.
Yeah.
2008 was the first one. There was a trend on the then up-and-coming YouTube of taking a classic music video, usually a weird one from the 80s, and rewriting the lyrics to describe what was going on in the weird music video.
So, classic
ones included stuff like Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yes.
And the first one, the original one, the one done by Dustin, was Take On Me.
Fuck, he was responsible
for that.
That
was him.
Jesus. Oh
yeah.
My God.
In 2008.
Good
and God. You know what? It's still really fun.
It is funny, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that neat?
That is neat.
So yeah, Dustin McLean like has like a full proper professional showreel of like his acting and animating, and like he does all these he does a lot of prop making as well.
Cool, okay.
And like he's got a really fun DIY aesthetic, and like he just seems like a neat guy.
Yeah, okay.
And he's clearly doing some pretty successful stuff. He's got a Twitter presence, but it's mostly just like, you know, a little I was doing, you know, hey, there's a project I'm working on, check it out stuff. He was, for I think 3 years, one of the programming directors for Mashable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he's you know, he's a self-styled like DIY filmmaking master kind of thing.
Also a fan of Back to the Future, it's
also a massive fan of Back to the Future, yes. Like so much of his stuff is like based in like, oh yeah, the classic fandom stuff. But yeah, no, like he's, you know, one of the success stories of like an animator who became like, you know, boy done well.
That's very good. I'm very pleased.
Yeah. Yeah, and he did do well. We will definitely be covering some of his other stuff in the future because, like, you know, he was pretty prolific and pretty beloved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Dustball. Thank you for the...
Continue to make good things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's do some comments.
Okay.
From Carol of the Robots. You want to go first?
Okay. Carol of the Robots says, Edible Castle.
Delicious.
December 18th, 2018. Oh. I was just listening to an Xmas playlist and remembered this little gem, just as good as ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Kronos 400 only gave it 1 star in December of 2006 and said, well, it was boring. Nothing happened bar them standing there pressing each other's keys. Oh, yeah. No lyrics made the song more boring, and I don't think that it would be second top. Because at the time it was, like, second place on the site.
Right, okay.
However, that's what the people, bar me, want, so that's what they get. Congrats on the sound and animation. Words would make it better, though.
I mean, words do not really make Carol of the Bells that much better.
Well, you can't tell what they're singing.
Not really.
Because it's in a terrifying children's choir.
Yes.
But at the same time, I would kind of like if he'd gone, like, full Moog cookbook... And it was like these ultra processed synth voices. That would be absolutely frightening.
Yes, it would. it's not wrong to hope. December 21st, 2006. Yes,
that's a hell of a username.
It is. Yes, I loved it. That was pretty much amazing. Official.
And they gave it 3.5 out of 5. So it's not wrong to hope. Clearly easy to please.
He's
but
so excited that he forgot what he was going to say.
And we got a couple more. We got Hero of the Wicked, who gave it 5 stars and said, so original. I might cry. Great job. It's rare to see something like this on Newgrounds that's original. And I love the combination of the keyboard robots and the little robot with the broken radio. Merry Christmas to all the ho-ho-hos and bitches!
Wow. What the fuck? What the fuck? That came out of... Oh my god. Oh fuck. Oh god. Never change Newgrounds comment section. Oh my god, okay.
And finally...
Theo Manns.
Finally, we have...
December 26, 2006 said, very good, I loved it so much. No, 0 out of 5.
0 out of 5. There's always one.
There's always one. Well, at least he told the creator that he liked it after rating it nothing at all.
Thanks, Theo Manns.
Theo Manns.
Theo Manns. Oh,
that doesn't quite work, does it?
Okay. anyway, finally, our final Christmas extravaganza sees us making a return to the wonderful land of Ed's World.
Oh, it's Ed's World.
It's Ed's World.
Yay.
Yeah, specifically old school Ed's World.
Very
this
old.
Is Ed's World Christmas 05.
Ed, I am your guardian angel. I'm here to show you what the world would be like if you never existed.
Why?
Because if I make you change your ways, I will get my wings.
Okay, I'm bored anyway.
Now, follow me.
What a merry Christmas
nice.
Story.
Yeah.
I think the three classic Christmas things that are always parodied are "Twas the Night Before Christmas,"
yep,
"Christmas Carol,"
yep,
and "It's a Wonderful Life."
It's a Wonderful Life,
and yes. We've done all three in this
all
episode.
Of them.
That's why I picked the ones I did.
Amazing!
Yeah, we've done it.
We have done it.
Hooray! And this, yeah, so this is old school Ed's World.
It's very old.
Tell us about old school Ed's World.
So excuse me. It's much obviously it's much less refined.
Mm-hmm.
Just the animation quality itself, not as good obviously as it would come to be.
There's definitely more of an amateur aesthetic going on.
Yeah, it feels It feels more amateur than the late stuff did. It, unlike the last Edgeworld thing that we covered.
So, yeah, episode 27, we looked at the Edgeworld film Movie Makers.
Yes.
Which was a much later production.
Much, much later.
And when they'd... Because this feels like them kind of like finding their voice, finding their feet.
Because like, unlike Movie Makers, which was like a joke a minute, which landed. Pretty much all landed. This one has like a few jokes that kind of feel like they just kind of left hanging.
Yeah, it's a lot less refined.
Yeah, like I think there's like a joke about Coca-Cola.
Well, that was a running gag about Ed drinking a lot of Coke.
Yes, and then like the thing that didn't make any sense to me is like he drank all that Coke and then fell asleep. It's like, that is the opposite of what would happen if you drank that much
Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
actually, yeah, in every cartoon, when a character drinks a lot of coffee or a lot of soda, they become really hyperactive.
Yeah.
And jittery. And Ed just...
He falls asleep.
Yeah, he just collapses on the desk.
Maybe he's got, like, a really fast metabolism.
Oh, maybe, yeah. but we, we've got Ed, we've got Tom, we've got Tord, which is a very Norwegian name. We're a very Norwegian guy.
Yes.
And yeah, Ed discovers through the help of his guardian angel. The guardian angel appears with a clip from Dare by Gorillaz.
Yes, it does.
There are actually the use of music in this. I mean, the music in Ed's world has always been good.
Yes.
But the use of music on this is so 2005. It's wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the intro is Five Iron Frenzy doing a ska version of Oh Holy Night.
Yes, it is.
but yes, yeah, so plot wise, we got Ed. He is shown the meaning of Christmas by a guardian angel.
Yeah.
Who shows him what Christmas would be like if no one had ever met him.
If it never existed.
Yeah. And we learn that Tord is not only an extremely successful filmmaker.
Yes.
But also a full communist.
Yes.
Who gets twice the chicks he usually did. Including a woman who is credited as Red Guard, who plays herself.
This sounds like an advertisement for communism, man.
Yeah, but at the same time, he and Tom run a massive corporation together.
Yes, they do.
So is that like state run? Because it's porn. Is it state run porn?
Maybe.
How do you come up with quotas for that?
Very carefully.
and yeah, because a running joke is that Tord and Tom are kind of like, you know, frenemies. In this one, they just like they turned into friends because Ed wasn't there as a stabilizing force in their lives.
Yes.
So they make porn, which is this fine. Yes, whatever. And Matt is just a tramp now because Ed was never there to encourage him.
The way they introduce it is like, because you weren't there, he just wandered off and became a tramp.
Yeah.
It wasn't he became homeless. He just wandered off and became a tramp. Like, that's not how that works.
Yes. Plus you got the classic comedy rule of threes, you know? Like Tord, oh yeah, he's really successful. He found himself. Tom, oh yeah, he's really successful. He's got friends now. Matt, he's homeless.
Yeah.
And then the guardian angel disappeared. See, I was disappointed that they didn't do more with the guardian angel thing.
Yeah, he's just kind of there.
I think in a later Ed's world, they would have explored like the weird, you know, what kind of mythology was around the guardian angel, like what kind of powers they would have,
yeah,
and that kind of thing.
Definitely.
But this is placed a lot more straight.
Yes, it is.
Although we do get the comedy. Of Ed falling through the portal, which
that,
I like.
That is good, yes.
Yeah, and then at the end, turns out that Ed does exist, and all his friends are throwing a big Christmas party for him.
And Tom uses that exact moment to remind everyone that he doesn't really celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, but the credits cut him off.
That's the end of the cartoon.
Yeah, that's a cute punchline. I like that punchline.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Also, at the Christmas party, like all the sexy ladies from the alternate universe are there. So maybe that was the present from the guardian angel.
Okay.
Yeah. There is a small theme in between this and the Perfect Kirby cartoon, which is a sexy ladies. And Christmas.
Are you done? Okay.
But yeah, like it's fun. Like you can see the seeds that would blossom into like
yes.
proper Ed's World's goodness later
yes.
on. You got a couple of like kind of Family Guy cutaway jokes there.
A little bit, like, oh Ed, what did you do? He's just like sat in a white room on a chair
doing exactly
nothing.
This, yeah.
Like, oh, the usual.
Yeah. and yeah, it's not bad. I didn't really get into it much, but I imagine if I had at the time been like an Ed's World fan,
you would have liked that.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like proper fan service kind
yeah.
of stuff. And like, you know, in later years, they would explore a lot more of the character relationships. Mm. And they would do a lot more Christmas specials, which we will be looking at in future, no doubt. Yeah, but it's fun. Do we have any extra Flash R? I know we kind of covered the Ed's World saga back in the day.
We covered Ed's World. So it was uploaded December 2nd, 2005, but then it won the Daily 4th place for December 3rd.
Neat.
Which is, okay, which is just kind of random. It's been viewed nearly 100,000 times as a recording, which is pretty, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Interestingly, so this Ed's World Christmas 05, I think, is rated like M or T, and Ed's World Christmas 04 is rated like E.
Mm.
So
I think it's all the porn.
That might be it. yeah, no, there was that really yes. There
yeah,
was that really
the
quite really... a graphic photo of okay, yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
They were growing up, weren't they? Ah.
Yeah, like how old would they have been when they made this one? So 2005. So they would have been what, 16, 17?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about all the extra.
We covered it.
Yeah,
extensively was the word I was looking for.
There
we covered
you
go. It pretty extensively back when we last looked at Ed's World.
Yeah, but we can finish off with some lovely comments.
Yes, we can.
Such as Ed's World Fan Man.
Yes.
Who in 2009, November 2009, said Ed, adult film cool, and rated it 2.5 stars.
What does that mean?
I think Ed's,
what does that mean?
I think Ed's World Fan Man is also a caveman.
Adult film cool.
Ed.
Adult film cool. Ace of Spades 793. Oh my god, I'd forgotten about this one.
right, so this is 2005.
2005 right. Said lol, cool with a K E W L.
Yep.
WTF, OMG, BBQ, awesome. This was one of Ed's best. I'd just like to point out, I don't celebrate Christmas. Matt and I are alike now. Okay, it was Tom who said that, but fine. I guess, awesome. Anime smiley face. He did like the metal hand. With
yeah,
the
throwing
M,
the horns.
And like,
yeah.
There are about 20 exclamation points interjected with the number one.
Ah, that's just how we spoke.
That's just how we spoke back then. Why didn't anyone stop us?
Killing Spree in 2005 said cool with a K.
Yeah.
Good job. A true Christmas tale. Tale spelt like, you know.
You know, like the Christmas tale that you get at Christmas.
Yeah, like an American tale.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Rubik's Cuber, June 4th, 2010 said, this is wassum and all that, but I thought the angel meant that he needs to earn his wings. I thought they were chicken wings to be eaten.
Why didn't they do that? Like, genuinely, now I think about it, that would have been a great punchline.
That would have been a pretty
but the
good...
Guardian...
I need to earn my wings and chicken wings.
Yeah, but the guardian angel just, like, disappears. And there's not even a shot at him at KFC or something.
That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And finally, New Droid, in November 21st of this year, 2019, said simply, I miss Ed. There's a
sad face.
Echoing the sentiments of a lot of people.
Yeah, he is dearly missed.
Yeah, as with the handful of creators we've talked about who are no longer with us, often A lot of their videos, every now and then there'll be comments that are just kind of memorializing them.
Yeah.
And it's really bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because you've got people who put a lot of work into making really fun stuff.
Yeah. And touching
a lot of people's lives.
And Ed and his team, like, they did some really incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Really, really good stuff. And they continue to do it, like, in the wake of his passing, which is nice.
Yeah.
And it's nice that he made an impact.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Yeah. Oh, that's a somber note to end things on, but it's still, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this has been a jam-packed episode.
It really has.
Owing to email disaster, sadly, we do not have your various Christmas messages.
Sorry.
That you must have sent.
We lost them. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We'll do better next time.
Yeah. Oh, there was one email that was replying to our Star Wars special, which was our previous episode.
Oh, yeah.
So you remember that that in one of the cartoons, it's mentioned that loser Jedi just go and live on a farm somewhere?
Yes.
Apparently that's canon.
What?
Apparently that's canon to like the Star Wars universe. Like, failed Padawans just go and live on a farm.
Okay.
So
what? What the fuck?
I mean I've never been particularly up on the Star Wars lore, so
me
I don't
either.
I don't know about that. So I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, wow. and a friend sent me, hold on, let me find it. Yeah. My friend sent me this.
Oh no.
Speaking of Star Wars.
Oh fucking hell, not I've seen this before already.
So this is from the most recent Star Wars like activity, but for kids. Here's some cool information. And it's just, I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but it does say that Chewbacca So Chewbacca, you know Chewbacca, everyone knows Chewbacca.
Yeah,
he spent like 7 whole films like as part of the fighting force of the rebels against the evil empire and then against the evil First Order.
And the Clone Wars.
And it says Chewbacca, having spent more than 2 centuries witnessing the rise and fall of darkness in the galaxy, Chewbacca remains decidedly apolitical.
No, he's fucking not. He took part in the fucking Clone Wars. They are known as the Clone Wars. He was on a side in the Clone Wars.
This is a Wookiee who literally took up arms against 2 evil empires. But according to
him, he's apolitical.
I kind of
fuck up.
Fuck you, Star Wars Activity.
Not only did he take up arms, he would tear the arms off of people
yes!
he didn't like.
Especially if they beat him at Wookiee chess.
Especially then.
Yeah. but yeah, fuck that.
That's ridiculous. Who the fuck?
George. What you are planning to do with next year?
I thought you were going to say the next decade. I was like, holy shit, I don't think people have planned ahead quite that far. Yeah.
What are you planning to do in the new year? Like, you got any cool holidays planned? You going to do any New Year's resolutions? Are you going to bake a massive cake
then
hurl it at a politician's face?
Do that one. Definitely do that one.
Yeah, you should write in and just tell us some nice stuff that you've got planned.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can do that at flashinthepancast@gmail.com. Yeah, and speaking of the internet, why not check us out on our website, which is flashinthepancast.com. We're on Twitter as well, which is flashitpancast or flashitpancast. Alex is also on Twitter, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And where can you find her?
On Twitter @dex01. I tweet sometimes.
You do?
Mostly I just retweet stuff that either makes me smile or makes me laugh.
Those are good things. More of that in the coming years.
That is most of what I do on Twitter, is just retweet something that either got a smile or a chuckle or a full-on belly laugh out of me.
Those are all good combos.
And sometimes I make my own tweets.
That's brave.
It is, isn't it? And if I'm ever like about to do something new and exciting, I will definitely tweet about it.
Excellent. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude, P-R-K-N-S. And thank you again to Alicia E. Goranson, who is our lovely host and web space provider. And you can check out her new game Tegu at tegu-game.com. And yeah, until next time, until next decade.
Wow.
I've been Tom.
I've been Ali.
And Merry Christmas to all the ho-ho-hos and bitches. Happy New Year, and have a great flash.